WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Beef. President Trump is on the phone with China's President Xi, discussing a deal that would allow TikTok to continue operating in the U.S.
The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial, and it'll be owned by all American investors.
The CDC's new advisory panel meeting right now to consider new recommendations for COVID vaccines. Sabrina Cupid reports from Atlanta.
While most people get their seasonal vaccines at pharmacies, licensed pharmacists in some states cannot give the vaccine without an ACIP recommendation.
The panel's just delayed a vote on recommendations for hepatitis B shots in newborns. We're learning Jimmy Kimmel had planned to address his controversial comments about murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk before he was suspended indefinitely. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti from L.A.
Reports say he spoke to Disney executives about his prepared monologue for Wednesday's show, but they worried it would only inflame the situation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matinair and Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. The 19-year-old accused of fleeing Milwaukee police and causing a crash that killed a West Dallas family was already facing another case involving a police chase. Formal charges haven't yet been filed in Milwaukee County, so no name yet for broadcast. However, records show he was arrested in Indiana on August 24th after a chase in a stolen car. He was released on bond on Tuesday. That same day, he allegedly sped away from Milwaukee officers in a stolen Dodge Journey, ran red lights, and slammed into a Mazda, killing three people and injuring two others. Authorities say a gun and an extended magazine were also found in that stolen SUV. Saying teachers deserve better insurance options, Democratic lawmakers introduced a bill in Madison to study a new group plan for school employees. The proposal would direct state officials to explore costs and savings of combining school workers into a large health pool. One representative pointed out that teachers pay nearly three times more out-of-pocket than legislators. Supporters believe a bigger pool could mean lower costs for families and taxpayers. The legislation stops short of creating the plan, but calls for data to guide the next steps. The massive new Microsoft data center expansion in Mount Pleasant will use millions of gallons of water a year, but it could be more. The company said yesterday they're doubling their spending in Racine County with a now $7 billion data center project. It's expected to open the first phase next year, using more than 2.8 million gallons of water annually from Lake Michigan. Microsoft says they've designed a system that recycles most of the water. The second data center will be similar in size and is expected to open in 2 years. Microsoft says they're promising to balance any fossil fuel electricity used with clean energy projects, including a major solar farm. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers traveled to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. Yesterday, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft went down during practice with a knee injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich asked if he saw what happened.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be all right, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, if anyone goes down that you have as a part of your game plan, you'll have to adjust some things. So we'll kind of see what happens with the injury report and everything like that and what the trainers say, and we'll make adjustments.
It appears to not be season ending. College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice way to wrap up the work week with partly sunny skies, highs in the low to mid 70s. For tonight, showers and a few thunderstorms becoming likely as the night goes on, especially after midnight. It'll be a mild night with low temperatures in the mid 60s. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule. Plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hi, live
stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I'm going to give you a little reminder. You got a couple minutes right now if you do not yet have the Civic Media app.
What's the big deal, Jane?
Today is our final free ticket Friday.
Wait, first of all, it's Friday?
It is Friday.
Holy crow. Yep. Okay, that means time to get that Civic Media. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yes. So yep. Go to wherever you get your apps. Go to your app store, like Google Play or whatever is your thing.
Yeah.
Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. That should come up, little CM logo.
Yep.
Okay, got you it. Download that. Download the app.
Got it.
It is free.
It's free.
Oh my gosh. I know, it's amazing. Download the Civic Media app. It is completely free because in just a couple of minutes, see, Greg is doing the example right there. In just a couple of minutes, we are going to give you a keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only enter this Free Ticket Friday contest if you have the Civic Media app.
Correct.
And we want you to be able to take part because we are playing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets for next Friday's game when the Crew hosts Cincinnati.
If I'm not mistaken, because we are in the very, very latter days of the season. That is the last weekend.
Of the regular season.
Yes. So this is going to be a 3-game series against the Reds. And this, what, it's Friday?
Friday.
Friday the 26th.
Yep. Friday night game. Great night.
Great night. Hopefully by that point, we will have clinched the division.
Can go and just have a nice relaxing evening watching the Brewers win. But be ready.
Yeah.
It's coming up in just a couple of minutes to text in that keyword. And then you'll have until 11 o'clock to text in that keyword. Tom Hartman will have a different one for you from 11 to 2. And then with Todd Alba, 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And that is not the only reason to download the Civic Media app.
Well, pray tell, why else, Jane?
Rumor has it
that
there's a new multi-state text-to-win contest starting very soon.
I must have information.
Woo.
That's what we call a tease.
Oh, that's a tease. So you want to have the Civic Media app because today is not the only reason you want to be able to enter.
Mm-hmm.
There are some wonderful and fabulous things coming your way very soon.
And also the app, is besides the contest, is great because you can also listen to us anywhere in the world. You can take us with you on the go. Find the station you need to find and listen to WAUK if you want to. And if, you know, we've had people take that app on vacation, listen to our show in other countries,
pretty cool,
on other continents. And it's great to be a part of their lives. So, yeah, it's great. You get news. It's just a very and the great thing is that they're always updating it and they're always giving more features. And
yes,
it's completely app absolutely free.
Yes. We're going to be talking to actually one of our sister stations next week. Because what I love about the app, too, is if, say you want to listen to one of our music stations around the state.
Yeah.
Because we have a whole bunch of them.
Correct.
And in Baraboo next week, they're doing this great fundraiser for a local domestic violence shelter. It's a request-a-thon.
Yeah.
So you can call and request your song. But if someone doesn't want you to, if they don't want to hear that song, they can pay a little more and knock your song off. It's great.
I know what I'll do. I'm going to request Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney and Wings because I know Pat Kreitlow will call and pay any amount of money to
not play that. Yeah. But we're going to talk to David Grant about that next week. And again, this is something that you can listen to on the app.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to check out a music program for a couple of hours and get away from the news, you can do that via the Civic Media app. So make sure you have it. You're going to need it very shortly.
Yeah.
Wanted to start off with this, though. What a surprise. Republicans, this from WISN, set to propose sweeping changes to ballot drop boxes ahead of the midterms.
Okay. Few things, Jane.
Sure.
First of all, wasn't it just last year where they had suddenly and out of nowhere embraced the change of other forms of voting that is not on the day in person? Like, drop boxes, mail-in, all that stuff.
You know what comes to mind? Bank your vote.
Yes.
I seem to remember bank your vote.
Bank your vote.
And Brian Schimming, the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
Correct.
Was very big on taking advantage. Voting absentee.
Yes.
Voting early. Using drop boxes.
And the experts agree that drop boxes worked in the Republicans' favor last election
because
there are a lot of folks out there who need they need more options. They need to be able to vote early. They need to be able to drop it off in a drop box. Like, this is just helping keep our democratic processes in place. Although in this past week or two, I can see how democratic processes really just get in the way of power and you know, not wanting to leave your office. But this just doesn't. Also, the other question I have, Jane, didn't the Wisconsin Supreme Court say this year that drop boxes are fine? Talking to you, Doug Dinney in Wausau.
Yeah, I believe they did.
Yeah.
I believe the Wisconsin Supreme Court did decide that there was nothing evil about drop boxes because there's nothing evil about drop boxes.
So wouldn't we qualify this then? And this, I'm using technical parlances in election in the election industry, wouldn't this be classified as beating a dead horse?
One could say that.
Cool. Just wanted to know. Great use of our tax dollars, folks.
Wisconsin Republicans set to propose sweeping changes to how ballot drop boxes are used and monitored in legislation they will introduce next week. Assembly Assistant Majority Leader Republican Scott Klug says he will detail this this coming Sunday on WISN's Upfront.
Great.
The bill will also allow election officials to start processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day. We've talked about this repeatedly. This measure has failed over and over and over again, and it has bipartisan support.
Yes, and it fails because it allows Republicans to complain about Madison, but more specifically Milwaukee.
Ballot dumps. Midnight ballot dumps.
Dumps of ballots. Because, you know, in a town with more than, you know, 50,000 people, and in the case of Milwaukee, 550 plus thousand people, it takes a little bit longer.
It does.
And will this portion pass? I don't know. What I've been hearing a lot, and the stories we talked about with regard to things coming out of the GOP in Wisconsin, they love to tell us this is what we're going to do. And then it's always followed with few details are known. So Klug is not giving us anything right now other than this. And he'll tell us more on Sunday. And we can follow up on Monday about this because I want to know. So you want to limit Dropbox usage, but then expand the ability to count ballots. When I say this, I'm not being snarky. I don't understand the logic of it all, but make it make sense, Scott Klug on Upfront.
Scott Krug,
Krug.
Told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the bills aimed at codifying new election practices will be released next week, including the measure giving poll workers more time to process mail-in ballots, again, which we have tried to get passed over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But it's a really handy thing for one side when the election isn't going their way to then be able to say, oh, but they dropped off all these ballots in the middle of the night. No one knows where they came from. They just came from the sky.
It makes you look kind of crazy. And, you know, at this point, we're at a place where no one really cares when they act crazy. We just sort of shrug our shoulders. We shrug our shoulders and we move on because we have lives. And that's kind of the dangerous part. But we do. We have lives. Even us who spend our time in the news, there are other things we have to talk about and look at. Whereas other folks who have, like, jobs, kids, other responsibilities, they don't pay attention because it's not on their radar. So, and my point being is that last year, Brian Schimming and many of the GOP members nationwide and state said, bank your vote, vote early, bank your vote. And then Donald Trump was still saying absentee balloting, anything that's not traditional on the day in person is corrupt. And then finally he stopped saying it. And it worked for them. It works for everyone, period. And now we are 8, 9, almost 10 months. We're 9 months into the year and we're back at this?
Yeah. The measures will include a ban on fixing errors on ballots called ballot curing, which has been happening for a long time. We'll also codify rules governing the use of ballot drop boxes. Another measure will change how many hours clerks have to be available for early voting based on population size. Smaller the population, the shorter the voting time period.
Boo.
According to Krug, if there's a community that has less than 100 registered voters, they only have to do 5 hours in person during the 2 weeks before Election Day instead of 20 hours. One other measure, which I do agree with, would include grants to boost security measures for poll workers. Yeah, let's protect these people.
Let's also bolster just staff of these polling places, too.
So they continue and to work smoothly.
I mean, I don't know if it would still be happening now because Mark Zuckerberg is in his villains era, but he was providing grants to municipalities all over the state, all over the country.
The infamous Zuckerbucks.
Yeah, and those went away because, you know, the Republicans love democracy, so now we have to find it in other ways. And, okay, we're going to get... safety is important. I'm not against safety. I love safety, especially for poll workers. We need to take care of them, and we need to thank them. But we also need to give support in the way of funding to staff, to locations, to all the things they need just to make it easier for them, which makes it easier for us.
A spokesperson for Governor Evers says the Evers wants to sign into law a bill that allows poll workers to process ballots ahead of Election Day. Thank you. But will not support measures undermining and sowing distrust in existing election workers and practices. Not a surprise, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu did not immediately respond to questions about the chances of the new bill becoming law.
Oh, yes, of course. Because
he's the sticker.
He's the sticking point. A lot of times, yeah, he's the guy who's either not, he's the gentleman who doesn't even bring these votes to up for a vote. Or I'm sorry, he doesn't bring these bills up for a vote. And in a couple of instances, he has said out loud, that's not my job. It's like, it's almost all of your job, sir.
Pretty much.
So on the live stream, a young person named This Chick Loves the Squad says, many people in Wisconsin work away from home. You need to vote at your town hall. By mail was the only way to vote for me.
Yep.
No way I was driving home to vote to go back to work. Yeah, exactly.
And I just think for elderly people.
Military people.
I mean, people with special needs, mm-hmm. all kinds of folks take advantage of drop boxes and voting by mail.
This is just a convenient alternative for everyone, not to mention, you know, the way that the way they want. I mean, I'm going a little bit outside of the GOP of Wisconsin, but like the attitude now is just that, you know, you will vote on the day in person. That's it. Well, guess what? All your military don't get to vote. All those people who work out of the country don't get to vote. All those kids who are voting at home, even though they're out at school, don't get to vote. And that's exactly what you want. This is voter suppression and voter intimidation. So I'll be interested to see what he has to say on Upfront this Sunday, because, you know, I'm all about bolstering security and I'm all about opening them absentee ballots early to vote to count those votes. But this whole drop box thing gives me the ick.
Stay with us when we return. That keyword, you want this keyword. It's Free Ticket Friday. Playing for a four-pack of tickets. It's in Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats for next Friday's game against Cincinnati. Stay close. That's next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. Mm-hmm. Many, many things we will be recombobulating over.
There's so much recombobulation happening today. I can't even stand it.
So he'll be joining us in just a little bit. Right now, though, here's what you need to do. Grab your phone.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Open up the Civic Media app.
Done.
This is the only way to enter this contest via the Civic Media app.
Lay it on me.
Okay. Pick WAUK or whatever as your station.
Got it.
Text in the word.
Yes.
Gold. G-O-L-D.
Got it. Will do.
Gold.
Yeah.
You can't play. Greg. G-O-L-D. Gold is the word you want to text in right now via the Civic Media app. And that is going to get you in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets for next Friday when the Brewers host Cincinnati at AmFam Field. Text in the word gold. G-O-L-D. You have until 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Can only enter once.
Correct.
During our show.
Yeah.
But then you have another chance with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Then again with Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie from 4 to 6. Right now, though, till 11 o'clock, the word to text in is gold, G-O-L-D. Good luck.
And spelling counts.
It does count.
You might be
you'll
like...
get rejected. You'll get a rejection notice, I think, if you don't spell it right.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
G-O-L-D. Good luck. And if this isn't your thing, there is going to be another multi-state text to win contest coming very soon.
What?
So make sure you have the Civic Media app. It's free. Mm-hmm. You can get it wherever you get your apps. Text in the word gold.
Yeah.
G-O-L-D, just like Colleen from Richland Center.
Oh, they're coming in.
And Sean and Madison and Bob along Wisconsin's East Coast. Sharky and Racine and Caesar and Madison and Carla and Eagle River. I love it. Love to see the entries come in. Text in the word gold, G-O-L-D.
Can I pose a question to Bob right now?
Sure.
Is Wisconsin's East Coast a thing I've just never heard of, or is that something he put in because he likes it? Because it seems official. Everybody else like, you got Richland Center, Madison, Milwaukee, Muskego. But Wisconsin's East Coast is something I've never heard.
I like it.
And I'm wondering if that's maybe something in my southeastern Wisconsin bubble that I just didn't pay attention to.
Let us know, Bob, from Wisconsin's East Coast, if you'd like to clarify where that is. Satisfy our curiosity.
Yes.
Otherwise, the rest of you, text in the word gold.
Yeah.
G-O-L-D. Again, to be in the running for that 4-pack of tickets to see the crew host Cincinnati next Friday at AmFam Field. With the time we have left before the bottom of the hour, Superintendent of Schools Jill Underlie calls the Trump administration the biggest schoolyard bully that Wisconsin schools are facing.
Yeah.
State Superintendent Jill Underlie calling the Trump administration the big schoolyard bully. Her address yesterday, her first during her second term in office. Dr. Underlie says public education in Wisconsin isn't just a system. It's a living story written daily by the people who believe in its promise. And as we've learned, it seems like most of us love our public schools if it's our public school.
Yes.
If it's that other public school, not so much.
No, and I would say that Dr. Underlie is correct in her description as Donald Trump is the biggest schoolyard bully. I mean, he put Linda McMahon in charge of the Department of Education, but I would also say don't sleep on Robin Voss and his cohorts. They've done quite a bit to slowly choke the life out of public school
without
here in Wisconsin.
And it's very intentional.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's almost with there is a level of pride glee. They take.
Glee,
because they think whenever they give them money, that's enough. And really, it's never enough. And looking back, her request for $4 billion, while seems crazy expensive, when you think about how long it's been underfunded, $4 billion for then and now would probably do the trick. And it will never happen.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Dr. Jill Underlie.
Thank you for
speaking out.
Yes.
Yep. And I'm sure we will be hearing more from her as well. Right now, though, the word to text in via the Civic Media app is gold, G-O-L-D. And Bob from Wisconsin East Coast is on the line with us. Good morning, Bob from the East Coast. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you?
We are great. So can you be a little more specific on what is Wisconsin's East Coast?
It's everything that's along the shoreline.
Everything.
That's a very large piece of property you have, Bob.
Well, I covered it. I started working in fundraising in 1977. I'm originally from a place called Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
In the fast foods industry, I worked in Milwaukee, Port Washington, and Kenosha.
All right.
There you go.
You're doing the stretch.
Yeah, I like the way you do that, Bob. That's how I feel. Like, I don't have, like, civic pride. Like, I'm from Waukesha. I lived in Milwaukee. But I've lived in southeastern Wisconsin and all these counties. So I have, like, a southeastern and a Wisconsin pride. So I like the way you do that, Bob. I like your style.
Thank you for calling to clarify, Bob. We were just really curious about that.
I like how I asked.
He runs from Sturgeon Bay down to the state line, man.
It's like, what's Wisconsin's East Coast? The coast that's on the east. I feel like, Bob, you were very nice and telling me. I feel like I've said everything I need to say.
We appreciate that.
Thank
Bob.
You, Bob.
Text in the word gold, by the way. You have until 11 o'clock via the Civic Media app, G-O-L-D, for that 4-pack of club-level tickets for next Friday's game at MFM when the Brewers host Cincinnati. We have news coming up next, and we'll come back with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Big waves and dangerous currents are expected along the Lake Michigan shoreline from late tonight through tomorrow afternoon. A beach hazards statement will be in effect for Racine, Milwaukee, and just to the north. Kenosha County isn't included in the alert. Waves could reach 3 to 5 feet, creating life-threatening conditions for swimmers. Officials are urging people to stay out of the water and to avoid piers and breakwalls. A Madison representative is trying to make history. Savannah Tolmy Olson reports.
Wednesday, Representative Francesca Hong announced she's running for governor. Hong represents Wisconsin's 76th district, which is in Dane County. That leaves her seat open. And now there's a contender. Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford is running for the seat. In 2023, she became Madison's first trans woman on the Common Council. If she wins, she'd be the first trans person in the state legislature. Here's what she told me before announcing her campaign.
It sounds so trite, but when they can see someone who is actively participating in government, who was sitting in a seat next to people and telling them, I am still a human being and I have every constitutional right that everyone else does, gosh, that makes an impact. And for that little kid has never seen a trans person really thrive close to them, this is a beacon saying you belong and you are just as valuable.
Her platform includes affordable housing as a human right and public policy lifting people out of poverty. Martinez Rutherford is the first person to announce their candidacy for the 76th district. The election is in November 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first three episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice way to wrap up the work week with partly sunny skies, highs in the low to mid 70s. For tonight, showers and a few thunderstorms becoming likely as the night goes on, especially after midnight. It'll be a mild night with low temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear.
Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we go deep on what Charlie Kirk said, the GOP's response to his assassination, and what is hate speech. Really, don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the one, the only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream.
Hi.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our final Free Ticket Friday, so grab your phone. Open up the Civic Media app, not you guys, and text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. You have until 11 o'clock. You can't enter, Dan. You have until 11 o'clock to text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D, and get in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are really, really good seats. They are for next Friday's game when the Brewers host Cincinnati. So you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D, just like Linda in Eau Claire and Peter in New London and Oscar in Madison and so many more. Text in the word GOLD. You have until 11 o'clock. Then Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2. Todd with a different one from 2 to 4. And Maggie, again, from 4 to 6 p.m. But right now the word is GOLD. G-O-L-D. Make sure you enter, and good luck. Dan Schaefer is here. It's Friday. It's time for a little recombobulation from Civic Media's political editor and some movement now in the governor's race, Dan. A couple more hats in the ring.
It's been a little bit of a busy week here with some of the announcements that we've got going on governor's race.
Yeah.
Not just the governor's race, a few other announcements this week, and we can get into that too. There's 2026 outlook is heating up a little bit. But two candidates, both from Madison, each announced that they would be running for governor this week. So on Monday, Calderoy, state senator, announced that she would be running for governor. And then I believe it was Wednesday that State Representative Francesca Hong announced that she would be running for governor. So, you know, last week we had David Crowley announced his candidacy. Mayor Cavalier Johnson got behind it. Last week was Milwaukee week.
Right.
And this week Madison week. And so, you know, we're making our way around the state with some of these announcements here. What'd you guys think of, you know, announcement videos about how some of these landed? I guess let's start with Kelda Royce.
I mean, I everyone I've talked about Kelda is excited to see what she has to offer.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing that I honestly think that Kelda Royce, Francesca Hong, and Sarah Rodriguez all have a similar quality of good energy.
Mm-hmm.
Kelda doesn't hold back. Neither does Francesca Hong.
That's mm-hmm. true.
So I think there was a lot of excitement to see both of these individuals jump in, because now it feels like there's going to be a discussion.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's going to be ideas. And everybody I know who loves Francesca Hong is really excited.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Kelda, I think that, you know, she has a little bit more work to do as far as getting her name out there. But I think that I'm happy they're both in it. I was unsure with Francesca just because I feel like sometimes her message can, I don't want to see people trying to label her as like some socialist commie in all of her.
But I think that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's part of the Democratic Socialist Caucus. Yes, exactly. So it's not like she's running from that either. Like,
no.
it's a voluntary choice that she made to be part of that caucus.
But Calvin, I'd like your take on this, because in talking to younger Democrats and younger leaning Democrats, I think they get tired of what they see are the regular old run of the you know, middle of the road, let's all get along kind of Democrats. And Francesca is different. What do you think about the energy that she brings, Calvin?
I had this discussion with Greg off the air yesterday afternoon, and I'm not sure how I feel about the primary going forward. I like all of the candidates. Well, I'll save my thoughts for the fifth member of the field for
another day.
Not necessary. But yeah, I think it's torn between, do you vote for someone that you like and are confident they can win an election, or do you vote for someone that you like and think is more the direction you'd like to see the party move? And I think that's kind of the dichotomy of Kelda Royce and Francesca Hong for me. Is I think Kelda Royce has a better chance of winning the general election. But I think Francesca Hong's progressive policies have a potential to speak more to the younger people.
Yeah, and I think there is that, right, Calvin, there's this, I forget who said the quote, but it's just like this quote about primaries and elections, and it's just like, in a primary, vote your heart, in the general, vote your head.
Yeah.
Vote who, you know, which candidate speaks to you most in a primary, but once you're in the general election, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It's just about who, you know, especially in the two-party system that we have, it's just like, you're making a different type of calculation with that. But yeah, I think that's interesting, and I do wonder if there's, you know, if there's a certain lane for a progressive candidate that had not yet been claimed, and that it can be claimed now by Representative Hong. But I do think, you know, and I wrote about this in a piece a few weeks ago, and I had, you know, kind of like the top contenders I had in the group, and Kelda Royce I had in that kind of top four potential contenders for governor. You know, of that, Josh Call has not yet announced, so we'll see what exactly he has in store for his plans for 2026, Attorney General Josh Call. But I think, you know, I think Francesca Hong would start outside of that group, outside of the group of top contenders. But one of the things about, you know, knowing Francesca Hong for a few years now is no one's going to outwork her on any of this. And, you know, she just announced yesterday, as she was, you know, at the second day of her campaign, that she's going to be going on this like statewide tour. And she had like a dozen different places that she's going to be over the next 2 weeks going to and speaking with people and rallying support in her state tour. And I think the fact that she is going to be coming out of the gate and working super hard, that's going to make everybody else in the primary kind of need to up their game.
Work that much harder.
I consider myself a political realist in a lot of ways. I don't think she has the, you know, best chance of winning this race. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't think she is one of the top, you know, most likely to win this race. But I think her entry to it is going to make everybody work that much harder. And I think that is definitely a good thing.
Tony in the live stream says, if only we had ranked choice voting, you could vote your values and then everyone wouldn't have to be a pundit.
Yeah.
There's that too.
There is. Yeah. Yep. But we are not there yet.
We are not.
And I think when it comes to what's interesting to me about Kelda and Fran, and I want to, and saying that, I want to tack on as last another question for you, Dan, regarding David Crowley, is that I feel like even though Fran has, like, she definitely has those progressive democratic socialist values that she is standing up for, and she will not back down on, and that's one of the things I love about her. Kelda too isn't some centrist character. I mean, when she came on the show after the budget, we were kind of expecting a few days of you rah rah, we did it. And Kelda came on like, this is bad.
Is not good.
And both of us were like, oh, is it bad? I'm so sorry. Cause Tony Evers had proposed this budget being and Dianne Hesselbein. Like, it was good to see the Democrats walk in and take some control. But at the end of the day, there were Democrats, including Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce, who were not pleased. So I do feel like going back to what Calvin says, if you're looking between those two, I feel like it is a good combination of your head and your heart. You can vote for one or the other and feel represented and or feel like you're going to be spoken for by one of those two. But I feel like the announcement from Kelda and from Francesca have kind of muted David Crowley's announcement. He came out and it happened and we knew it was going to happen because he said early he was going to announce and then he finally announced and I've seen things. But now we are focusing our attention on the two of them rather than David Crowley. And he's sort of just, that's not a bad thing. He's going to do great. He's a great campaigner. But I feel like he kind of lost some of the thunder because you had two candidates in very close amount of time come out and announce they're running. And with Francesca, it was sort of like, yeah, but she did it. And with a really great video, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the video is good. If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday. And we are talking about the recent entries into the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. Talking about David Crowley, I certainly think he might have a little bit better name recognition. He is Milwaukee County executive. He's had that role now for several years. But I also think he's in almost a tougher spot because he has to come forward and talk about all the wonderful things he's done for Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that's going to be challenging.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Milwaukee candidates have a certain level of baggage to them, fair or unfair. I think mostly unfair. Mm-hmm. I think Crowley, in the 5 years that he has been at the helm in Milwaukee County, I think he's done a very good job. Like he was able to get the, you know, shared revenue thing and sales tax fix over the finish line. They've been able to, they have so many just like smart under the radar wins, but I just don't know how to those, like, you know,
how to highlight those?
How to highlight some of those types of things on in a statewide race. And I also wonder if, like, what is his name recognition outside of southeastern Wisconsin, too? Because I think there is like this quality of he's well known here, where we are in southeastern Wisconsin right now. I don't know how well known he is in the rest of the state.
Well, and one of the recent things I heard, and I can't remember where I heard this interview with him, but it's how do we address the needs of our, you know, it's like he asks all these right questions. I'm not hearing the answers for those questions. Mm-hmm. And as a candidate, you are there to provide the solutions for these things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that coming out and coming out with a lot of open-ended questions is necessarily the best campaign tactic.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, these are all valid concerns that people want addressed. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. There is
Be specific.
Got to be specific. And I think, you know, Crowley is kind of more of a governed by consensus type of leader as well. He's not just like everybody get here and listen to me type of person. He surrounds himself with really smart people. And he kind of like governs by consensus there. He's been able to have a really good relationship with the Milwaukee County Board. That has not always been the case,
which is kind of astonishing, actually.
So I think he is not somebody who's going to just get out there and be like, hey, my way or the highway, I'm gonna ruffle everybody's feathers. He takes a little bit of a different kind of approach, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that translates in a campaign sense, because it's not typically what you see in a campaign.
Well, and I think of all of the candidates thus far, and I don't mean to disrespect Mr. Strand, but I'm going to, you know, we got these people who have been in public office. David Crowley is the one with the most experience of running a thing. Like, you have
representative experience.
Exactly. Yes. Executive experience. And on top of that, too, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying, I think one of his biggest strengths is that man had to convince the county of Milwaukee. And now, granted, you can say Chris Abley was behind him, and that does mean a lot. But people's reservations, whether it's racism or his location, whatever it was, he convinced the people of Milwaukee County that he was the best choice for their executive. And I think that, on top of the fact that he has executive experience, goes a long way for him. And he is, I think, of all of them personally, of the ones that I have met, he's the best at campaigning and governing in the state. Some people are blessed with one and not the other, and he is blessed with both. He can walk into a room and start the conversation, but then as far as like talking about the wins, I think what you do is you get to the granular level and say, here are the things we need to work on. What is concerning you? Great. I have an answer. Let's talk about it.
And that's what we need. Yeah, that's what we need. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. Our conversation continues. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences, unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Netnair on Air. Jane Netnair, Greg Back of Greg Bach.
Wow. Well, guys, it's been fun.
I think we need to recombobulate.
Resident young person Calvin on the board coming to you live from
Calvin.
Our home. Calvin. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, our final Free Ticket Friday is underway. You have until 11 o'clock to text in the word via the Civic Media app only. Text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. GOLD is the word for right now until 11 o'clock. Text in the word GOLD on the app, and you will be in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Really good seats for next Friday's game at AmFam Field when the Crew host Cincinnati. So text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you at 11 o'clock from 11 to 2. Then Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. Right now, though, the word is GOLD, G-O-L-D. It's Friday. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. And before the break, we were talking about the gubernatorial race in Wisconsin. So we talked a lot about all the Democrats that are running. And now we have a An announcement of a pending an announcement.
We have an announcement about an announcement.
Yes.
It's like a turducken of,
announcements.
Of announcements and press releases and all of that. Yeah. So the Wisconsin College Republicans yesterday on their Twitter account put out a flyer that said, announcement, Congressman Tom Tiffany is holding a very special event in Wausau on September 24th. Everyone is welcome. This looks like a gubernatorial announcement.
Pretty much.
This looks like, I mean, he's been acting like he's running for governor for the past couple months here. He was all over the place at Wisconsin State Fair.
I was going to say,
he's been raising his profile. He's been talking about, in conservative media, he's been talking more about state-related issues on social media. It has seemed like he's been running for the last couple months. Maybe next week is when he finally makes it official. I think he had hinted at the fact that he was wanting to announce a run before the end of, or make his decision before the end of September. Sure seems like his decision is going to be that he's going to run.
I think that's a pretty fair bet.
I would say this is a Tom Duncan happening this next week. Also, I just want to go over the fact that he took a picture of himself holding a fish so he could put it out there because someone said, I believe anyone running for governor should have to take a picture to show us how you can, if you can hold a fish correctly. And he did, thus giving us another candidate running for an office in Wisconsin where a lake was involved.
Well, that obviously, yeah. Eric Hovde set the standard.
Lake. Yeah.
He set the standard.
You've got to check those most important boxes.
Exactly. You just need hatchet throwing and he'll be in the top five. Yeah. I can see Tom Tiffany trying to sell himself as the next Tommy Thompson. Kind of a, moderate, not a screamer.
Mm-hmm. But can you do that with Trump's endorsement? That's what he needs to. He needs that.
Well, but he can get the endorsement without having to take it to the next level.
Yeah, he is no moderate, though, by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, I'm not saying that he is, but he can try and sell himself that way.
Yeah, do you think it's more likely that he would sell himself that way, or if he sells himself as, hey, I'm the true conservative here, I'm a Trump supporter, MAGA supporter, I'm going to be your fighter in the state to try and stop Wisconsin from becoming California or Illinois or whatever these
Minnesota lately.
So I think he is more of kind of just like the conservative firebrand type of guy. I think it would certainly represent a big shift for kind of like where the center of power is for Republican politics in Wisconsin, because for forever it has been the WOW counties. It has been Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties. And I think we've seen so many candidates from there over the years, even this year with Brad Schimmel, and Scott Walker ran up huge numbers in Waukesha County when he was running. I think this if Tom Tiffany were to run and to be the nominee, I think it would really represent a shift in where the center of power is for Republican politics, because I think it would shift to the north. It would shift to the Northwoods or just kind of northwestern Wisconsin more broadly. Tiffany would, I think, really struggle with crossover appeal in some of those WOW counties that have been trending more purple, in mm-hmm. Waukesha and Ozaukee in particular, but he might run up bigger numbers in more rural areas in his own, 7th congressional district. So there's a trade-off to be considered there for him too.
Well, we'll find out more next Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's going to be making his announcement in Wausau. I'm just curious, is there a public works project that was funded by the Biden administration that Tom Tiffany can go stand next to and claim credit for while he's in Wausau?
He's done that before.
He's done it with the Blotnick Bridge. I just thought maybe there's something in Wausau he could try and tag his name onto he's there.
We'll have to see if there are any Biden infrastructure law signs that he'll have to avoid when he's in Wausau or something like that.
I see what you're saying. That was sarcasm. I got you. Okay, cool. I think I would love to ask the question of Republicans in Wisconsin. What do you think? Because you're the ones who will be deciding who wins this primary. Do you want to go with this name or do you want to go with someone new? Because it's going to be granted, if we don't get a billionaire guy like a Hovde or a Tim Michaels coming into it, who are the people that Republicans want to represent them in Wisconsin? Is it going to be the Tom Tiffany or is it going to be more unknown? I'd love to hear from Republicans on this. What is your thoughts? Are you going to vote for this guy or who's catching your fancy?
It's not a deep bench. And we ran a piece on this at the Recombobulation Era earlier this year from a contributor, Josh Clemens. He talked about how gerrymandering has hurt the Republicans' bench because they have not had the candidates who've actually had to compete
Oh, you can actually run?
Yeah. You can actually run and compete for voters in tough districts. They don't have tested candidates who are ready for a statewide run.
We have news coming up next. Dan Schaefer will be here. We will continue to recombobulate, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Many health experts pleased. A new CDC advisory panel has tabled a vote on changing a longstanding recommendation for hepatitis B vaccines for newborns. Dr. Flor Munoz at the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
There has been 30 years of progress with prevention of hepatitis B disease and potentially cancer.
President Trump and China Xi Jinping speaking by phone this morning to firm up a deal to save TikTok in the U.S. CBS's Natalie Brands at the White House.
This comes after earlier in the week, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed that there was a framework for a deal and that the commercial terms had been agreed upon.
Breaking news from the Chicago suburbs, federal agents clashing with protesters outside an ICE facility. CBS News Chicago's Darius Johnson's in Broadview.
That is resulting in protesters being dragged, pushed to the ground, arrested, and being hit with tear gas, pepper balls, rubber bullets.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.